Allison, we never know how we're going to start it, and why should we know how we're going to start it?
Sometimes it's good to have a plan.
Nope, plans are for the week.
Okay.
I quote me. That's my quote from now on.
Plans are for the week?
Yeah. I think that's a really bad quote. Plans are for someone else. Let's talk about who they're not for. They're not for us. It's not plans. It's not plan day. It's no plan day. No plan Monday.
I love that we have theme days now.
Yeah.
I think that should be something that we
yeah,
see.
It was a union decision when Chip and I unionized. And part
I
of
didn't
our collective,
realize that you had done that.
Yeah, part of our collective bargaining was that we would have theme days.
I like yeah. that. How come I didn't hear about it?
Because your management, Allison. Okay. Boo!
Okay. Do I get a say in what the theme days are?
No. That was also part of the collective bargaining, that you would have no say in the You should have showed up to collective bargaining.
Okay. So today's no plan day.
No plan Monday. Wah, wah. I did the sound. I did the wah, wah sound.
Speaking of.
Yeah, no, I did the sound. So speaking of, now you have to do the sound.
I don't want to do the sound because I don't know what that sound is.
Just say speaking of.
What is it?
Just say speaking of.
Speaking of.
Wah, wah.
Day. That's okay.
You want to try it again?
Yeah. Speaking of.
Wah, wah.
Today's day 120. And we're reading 2 Samuel 23 through 24 and Mark 14, 51 through 72. But my question to you is, why did you say the sound? Like, it's
that's
a known
sound
like everybody uses.
Yeah, it's a sound. People will know.
Nobody knows
Go
that.
Home and make that sound to your young children. They'll know.
They will not.
They will.
That's not true. That's not a sound.
It was clearly a sound. I did it several times.
Yeah, it's a sound that exists.
You broke the rule. I'm supposed to say, you're supposed to say, speaking of, when you want the nonsense to stop, and then it's supposed to, like, continue with the reading.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Chip's so good at that. Okay. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. David's last words. Okay, fine, I'll do it. These are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is like the light of the morning at sunrise, like a morning cloud, a morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on new grass after rain. Is it not my family God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and success. But the godless are like thorns to be thrown away, for they tear at the hand that touches them. One must use iron tools to chop them down. They will be totally consumed by fire.
David's mightiest warriors. These are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was Jashobeam, the Hakmonite, who was the leader of the three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. Next in rank among the three was Eleazar, son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. He killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword, and the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. Next in rank was Shammah, son of Agai, from Harar. One time, the Philistines gathered at Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils. The Israelite army fled, but Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Once, during the harvest, when David was at the cave of Adullam, the Philistine army was camped in the valley of Rephaim. The three, who were among the 30, an elite group among David's fighting men, went down to meet him there. David was staying in the stronghold at that time, and a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. David remarked longingly to his men, "Oh, how I would love to have some of that good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem." So the three broke through the Philistine lines, drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and brought it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. "The Lord forbid that I should drink this," he exclaimed. "This water is as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me." So David did not drink it. These are examples of the exploits of the three.
David's 30 mighty men. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, was the leader of the 30. He once used his spear to kill 300 enemy warriors in a single battle. It was by such feats that he became as famous as the three. Abishai was the most famous of the 30 and was their commander, though he was not one of the three. There was also Benai, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Once, armed with only a club, he killed an imposing Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benai wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. Deeds like these made Benai as famous as the three mightiest warriors. He was more honored than the other members of the 30, though he was not one of the three. And David made him captain of his bodyguard. Other members of the 30 included Asahel, Joab's brother, Elhanan, son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shammah from Herod, Eligah from Herod, Helez from Pelon, Ira, son of Ikish from Tekoa, Abiezar from Anathoth, Sibekai from Husha. I don't know why that. Zalman from Ahoa, Maharei from Netopha, Helad son of Bana from Netopha, Ethai son of Ribai from Gibeah in the land of Benjamin, Benai from Pirathon, Hurai from Nahal Gash, Abi Alban from Araba, Asmaveth from Bahurim, Eliaba from Shalban, the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, son of Shaggy from Harar, Ahiam, son of Sharar from Harar, Eliphelet, son of Ahashbai from Micah, Eliam, son of Ahithophel from Gilo, Hezro from Carmel, Parai from Arba, Igal, son of Nathan from Zobah, Benai from Gad, Zelek from Ammon, Naharai from Beroth, the armor-bearer of Joab's son of Zeruai, Ira from Jatir, Gareb from Jatir, and Uriah the Hittite. There were 37 in all.
2 Samuel chapter 24, David takes a census. Once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he caused David to harm them by taking a census. Go and count the people of Israel and Judah, the Lord told him. So the king said to Joab and the commanders of the army, take a census of all the tribes of Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, so I may know how many people there are. But Joab replied to the king, may the Lord your God let you live to see 100 times as many people as there are now. But why, my lord the king, do you want to do this? But the king insisted that they take a census, so Joab and the commanders of the army went out to count the people of Israel. First they crossed the Jordan and camped at Aroer, south of the town in the valley, in the direction of Gad. Then they went to Jazer, then to Gilead, in the land of Tatim Hodshi, and to Dan Jan, around to Sidon. Then they came to the fortress of Tyre, and all the towns of the Hivites and Canaanites. Finally, they went south to Judah as far as Beersheba. Having gone through the entire land for 9 months and 20 days, they returned to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of people to the king. There were 800,000 capable warriors in Israel who could handle a sword, and 500,000 in Judah.
Judgment for David's sin. But after he had taken the census, David's conscience began to bother him. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly by taking the census. Please forgive my guilt, Lord, for doing this foolish thing. The next morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, who was David's seer. This was the message. Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you 3 choices. Choose one of these punishments, and I will inflict it on you. So Gad came to David and asked him, will you choose 3 years famine throughout your land, 3 months of fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague throughout your land? Think this over and decide what answer I should give the Lord who sent me. I'm in a desperate situation, David replied to Gad, but let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Do not let me fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel that morning, and it lasted for 3 days. A total of 70,000 people died throughout the nation, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. But as the angel was preparing to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented and said to the death angel, stop, that is enough. At that moment, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. When David saw the angel, he said to the Lord, I am one who sinned and done wrong, but these people are as innocent as sheep. What have they done? Let your anger fall against me and my family.
David builds an altar. That day Gad came to David and said to him, Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him. When Arauna saw that the king and his men were coming toward him, he came and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Why have you come, my lord the king? Arauna asked. David replied, I have come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord there, so that he will stop the plague. Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish, Arauna said to David. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing boards and ox yokes for wood to build a fire on the altar. I will give it all to you, your majesty, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice. But the king replied to Arauna, No, I insist on buying all of it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer for the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped.
Okay, let's go on over to Mark 14, 51 through 72. 51, is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
One young man following behind was clothed only in a long linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab him, he slipped out of the shirt and ran away naked. Jesus before the council. They took Jesus to the high priest's home, where the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and went right into the high priest's courtyard. There he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they couldn't find any. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands. But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they all cried. He deserves to die. Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him and beat him with their fists. Prophesy to us, they jeered, and the guards slapped him as they took him away.
Peter denies Jesus. Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, You are one of those with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter denied it. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway, and just then the rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling others, This man is definitely one of them. But Peter denied it again. I don't know where it just went.
A little later, some of the other bystanders...
Oh, there it is. Sorry. I just lost my place. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, You must be one of them because you are a Galilean. Peter swore, A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. And he broke down and wept. And that is our reading today. No, I had an eyelash in my eye and I like went like this, expecting to be able to find my place on the page again, and then it was gone. It's fine. Just a mid-podcast crisis.
Yep.
This is when you know we don't edit things.
Right.
But you know what we do?
What?
We read with 2 questions in mind.
We do.
Yeah. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? And so, Allison, on this beautiful Monday morning, this wonderful, incredible, no-plan Monday, the question is to you. And since we don't have a plan, I don't even know which question you're going to answer.
How does this help me love God more?
Okay.
Peter's denial of Jesus is kind of, I don't know. It's what makes Peter one of my favorites, honestly. Not the fact that he denied Jesus.
Wow.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean his complete turnaround and the fact that he, like, you don't really get much worse than that. And then you... to preach in the first sermon. So I guess I just like to see that forgiveness. It's just displayed out, you know, because we obviously will see Jesus forgive him for that. And it kind of makes you wonder, I've always wondered what would have happened if Judas had asked for forgiveness instead of, you know, just going out.
He would have been forgiven.
Right, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, how different would the story have been had Judas done the same? Because Peter, I think about how when I mess something up really bad, that really affects someone else, I almost can't handle myself. Does that make sense? Like, I almost cannot, I feel so bad that I can't, it's like I can't get past it. So in these moments where it says suddenly the words flashed through Peter's mind, what Jesus had said, and isn't there a place in one of the other gospels where it said Jesus turned looks and looked at him? What'd that look like? What'd that feel like? When
not
Jesus
good.
Just, because I'm sure Jesus just looked at it. Jesus didn't look at him angrily. I'm sure he was hurt.
It's probably one of those.
Yeah.
Not like an arrogant, I told you so, but like.
Here it is. Here we are.
I said this would happen.
And so I can't imagine how terrible Peter felt about that in that moment, because.
Or how terrible he felt about it on Saturday.
Yeah. Right. I can't imagine. I just can't. I cannot imagine. I can. Where Judas felt terrible and couldn't handle it, and went out and just kills himself. You know, Peter. He went to Jesus. I mean, I guess Jesus came to him, but he wanted to be. He wanted to be forgiven. He wanted to make that right. So, it helps me love God more just to remember that no matter how bad things get or how terrible you think you are or what something you've done, he will forgive you. If you ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. He will. Judas could have asked. He could have. He could have gone back to Jesus and repented.
Yep.
The thief on the cross certainly didn't do anything to, you know, receive any paradise with Jesus.
Yep.
He just asked. He just said, remember me. So that just shows Jesus' heart. Like, he just, gosh, he wants us so badly to just come to him. So I think that's such a good reminder. Like, this had to be a really dark time for Peter.
Yeah.
The darkest time ever, except for being crucified upside down.
Nope. Probably. I think he was okay with that.
Yeah, I guess he probably was, because he
this
asked
is
for
definitely
it.
His lowest moment in life.
Can you imagine your lowest moment? I've had some pretty low moments in my life where I just thought, like, I cannot imagine things getting worse. And this had to be his moment.
Without a doubt.
And but he didn't go out like Judas and just hang himself, you know?
No.
And Jesus forgave him. Mm-hmm. So we have to remember, Jesus will forgive me. Go to Jesus. Let Jesus make it better.
Yeah.
He will forgive me. His blood covers me. I guess remember the power that's in that.
Yep.
Don't sell that short.
The whole thing is God created us for a relationship with him. That's all he wants from us. Mm-hmm. And so if we ever go and say, well, I'm too far gone, it's not just that you're robbing yourself of something amazing. You're robbing God what's due him. He created you for a relationship. Mm-hmm. And for you to say, well, I'm too far gone.
And you're also selling what Jesus did short,
totally.
Really.
Totally.
Because you're saying that what he did can't cover something.
Yep.
And it can.
Very interesting that both passages have, like, grand failures of two of, like, the most renowned men in the Bible. You know, David Census and
I have a question about that.
Yeah. I know what you're going to ask, but you can ask.
No, I already asked that question last year.
Oh, okay, different question, new question.
I know that the discrepancies between the two.
Yeah.
My next question is, it says the angel, it refers to that angel in three different ways in the passage that we just read. First, it says angel of death, then it says angel, then it says angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when it says angel of the Lord, isn't it referring to Jesus?
Yeah.
So is that Jesus? In that, because at first it says the angel of death, which wouldn't be Jesus.
I'm trying to think. No, probably not. Usually, so not that it's perfect, but New Living Translation is, like, usually they'll capitalize the the A in the angel of the Lord when they know for sure it's Jesus.
Okay.
It's not perfect though. There's a few places where it's definitely Jesus.
Okay.
But no, I don't think that that was Jesus. I think Jesus' judgment hasn't been, like, we haven't seen his judgment yet. So I think that that's coming. And then, you know, but he won't be the death angel no matter what.
You know, right.
Like, he'll never be that.
I've just heard, I've read someone have the question, if it says angel of the Lord, if that means that it's Jesus. It's hard for me to picture Jesus just... She said, I remember reading this comment somewhere. It's hard for me to picture Jesus killing all these people right here, da 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 da. And I always just kind of wondered, but.
Well, he's going to, I mean, there's a huge swath of people he's going to kill.
Yeah.
But this isn't it yet. This isn't it. Nope. I don't think so, anyway.
So, how does this help me love others?
Okay. How does this help you love others more?
Don't count them.
How about, don't count. One. How dare you!
Don't count me!
How dare you? Okay, so first of all, listen to the people around you. Boy, listen, Joab's a big dum-dum for so much of this. David's like, please don't kill my son. Joab's like, okay, yeah, I will.
Yep, going to do that.
I'm going to do that.
Also, Abner's okay. No, he's not.
Right. So maybe listen to the people around you, especially when they're telling you what you know is right. He knew not to census the people. He knew that.
Was the census a bad thing because it's a prideful thing?
Yeah, one, there's directions for how to do it. And then two, it's about making sure that, you know, it's totally motivated by, I'm getting toward the end of my life. Let me see what I've accomplished.
Okay.
Let me see how big of an army I've created.
These are my...
Yeah, and so maybe they haven't made a golden calf, but that's certainly an idol.
It's an idol, gotcha.
Yeah. So I think that's a good one, like, listen to the people around you. You know, husbands, listen to your wives. You know, I'm thinking in particular of leaders and followers. You know, husbands, listen to your wives. Parents, sometimes listen to your children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always right as a dad, am I? No.
He just kind of looked at you like, do I want to answer that? But you answered that well, Micah.
Yeah, Micah came in the room and he shook his head no. You know, teachers, listen to your students.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors, listen to your congregants. Elders, listen to your congregants.
It keeps you humble, too.
There's a lot more wisdom in the room than just you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, is like, if I make every decision without ever listening to my wife, mm-hmm. I'm only using probably less than half, of the brain power in the room. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I'm using half the wisdom in the room, half the life experience in the room. Like, listen to the people around you. Joab knew. Hey, this is not good. And then, I don't know how loving it is that, think about what David chose. David chose, and trauma informed here, David chose to let other people die for his sin.
What were the other options? To be chased by, to go to war.
To be chased by his enemies for 3 months.
For 3 months.
Or 3 years of famine.
3 years of famine.
So he didn't want to spend three more months fleeing like he fled from Saul and fleeing like he fled from Absalom. He didn't want to spend three more months doing that. So he said, I'll just do 3 days of plague. And 70,000 people died.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wasn't
any 70,000 people who died when he was running from Saul or
David
Absalom.
David makes me a little crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I get him because... So many of his struggles are struggles that I share, you know, and it's like, oh, David, you big idiot.
He did come back and say, oh, man, I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, like Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's mm-hmm. kind of the cool thing of all
that. That, well, man after God's own heart. Like, yeah. He repented before, you know.
Yep. Yep.
These parallels are kind of neat.
I know. There's cool stuff happening.
On the No Plan Monday, too.
Yeah. That's because this is the No Plan Bible Reading Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So am I going to get a list of the themes so I can walk into the day prepared? Or do
I don't know if you're doing this on purpose or not. It's No Plan Monday. Why would I tell you any sort of semblance of a plan? This is a union violation.
Okay.
This is a union
violation. I need to talk to my union rep.
But what
I
if,
need to talk to my union rep.
But
Mike
what,
Miles.
What if the next day is a plan day, and then I can ask you?
Is this
what are
a plan?
Risks?
Is this a plan you're asking me about? You have no respect for the process whatsoever, do you?
I will talk to Mike Miles.
Wow.
I will ask him. I will talk through him. Will Chip talk to me?
Is Chip in the union? So Chip will talk to you, but only if he's a scab.
When did you guys have this meeting, and why did I know about it? Because I could have been in on it, too.
No. Your management.
I feel like this is all going back to y'all being upset that I got rid of the hot air balloon. And I told you that it was what was best for everyone.
Nope! You don't make those decisions.
We still have...
We have a collective bargaining unit. All right, anyway. I'm sure this bit's getting old. I'm going to randomly come up with theme days the way that I have been.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll be
and
here.
And Allison, I have to tell you, I lied about the union. There's no union.
I know.
Hey, Micah, come here. Do you want to share some wisdom?
I don't know what wisdom is.
You don't know what wisdom is? Wisdom is having a big understanding of reality, of the world. So what do you think would be something wise?
Being good.
Be good. I love that.
Yep, that's wise.
That's cool. You want to say anything else?
Praying, reading the Bible.
Oh, my goodness. Micah, yeah. You are the best.
And trusting in Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Be good. Pray, read the Bible, trust in Jesus.
That's all we need to say.
Can't say anything more than that.
Nope.
Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.